If you freaking don't want to fight, then you freaking might as well stop right now. Are you going to stop fighting? You're behind in this fight. Damn it. Take this. You're behind in this fight. You're not listening. You got 12 minutes left. That's 4 rounds. What you do in the next 12 minutes, you're going to have to live with for the next 10, 20, 30, 40 years of your life. Your little son, he's not going to be told that his son beat Holyfield. He's going to be told he beat lost to a guy named Bolta. Who was brought up with no talent. You understand? Anything you feel, he's feeling the same if it works. You're just not digging. You hear me? And you can't talk about all the things you talk about if you don't perform. Now listen, do you want to live with that the rest of your life?
No.
Michael, it's going to happen. You got 12 minutes. You're behind. You understand? It's got to start here.
Bienvenidos. Welcome, welcome to episode 13, as Mr. Long tells me.
13.
You're very proud of your ability to count Spanish.
And like, sap.
Right. Right. What an idiot. Episode 13 of Knock 'Em Out the Box. My name is Vinny Paz. I'm here with my co-host, with the co-motes, the left, right, left kid.
Woo.
Mr. Brandon Long.
Yo, yo.
Straight out of Long Island.
Straight out of Strong Island.
Strong Island.
Money making. Yo, yo,
Philly
yo.
Connect. It's been a minute.
Yeah, sorry.
Well, sorry, everyone's getting COVID. They're doing this. They're doing that. So, you know, fights are getting canceled.
Delta variant.
Postponed. The other one. What's the other one called?
The Alpha variant?
No, it begins with an M.
Omega?
Delta, no, an Omega. M. An M, you moron. That's an O.
No, the I thought you know the first consonant is
what isn't it? M, the move, so the mu variant, the omega.
Lambda.
Mu.
You're thinking of lambda.
No, I'm thinking of all right, omega mu.
I don't know, man.
The omega mu.
COVID pledged a fraternity, and now it's a fucking.
It did.
Now it's drinking keg beer and throwing up on everybody.
It's the omega mu's from the Revenge of the Nerds. That's a variant.
Are those guys still alive?
Who?
The Nerds.
All of them? I don't know. I have to go through every nerd.
Billy, jump on
well,
that.
Homeboy is from your hood.
Google it.
Who?
Who's the young one? Wormser.
Really? Really?
Yeah. He where you're at right now, which we're not going to say on air, it's like a 5-minute ride from where you're at.
All right, Billy, also Google that because I want to go knock on his door.
Yeah, Wormser. And
he still lives there.
Strong Island, Wormser.
With his moms.
Yes.
Seinfeld and Brian Setzer also.
Mm-hmm.
Look around here.
A lot of people from the island, though. A lot of people from the
island.
Jackie the Joke Man, Sal the Stockbroker. You know, we could go on and on and on.
Oh.
You're the great Joe Smith, as you say.
Yeah.
With this fight he's taking. What do you got to say about that?
It's a gimme. I thought I thought they had it set up for.
For this fall.
Or Bivol.
Look, if what he's going to do is take at least a fight, you know, a nice little payday before he gets crushed, can you blame a guy? I don't know. Not a guy who comes
I'm not going to say that.
From his background. You're not going to say what?
That he's going to get crushed.
Well,
you know.
Speaking of delusion, let's talk about. So we spoke prior about Mauricio Lara, Josh Warrington. I had said I don't even know why this rematch is happening because of the result of the first one. And we spoke about it speaks volumes to Warrington's drawing power over there, that you would just get demolished and get a rematch. How, you know, I don't know how many times that's happened historically, bro. I'm sure we could think of some. Nothing's coming to my mind right away. I think he got iced in the eighth. You know, usually you move on and, you know, better things. And as for Warrington, can you have a couple more fights and build yourself back up and get a rematch? Sure, that's happened. That's happened where you force it.
Right.
But to get an immediate rematch.
Which he did.
Yes. Second round stoppage via cut. It's no contest. What you told me is it's going to a trilogy again.
Yes.
I find that offensive.
It's going through a trilogy, but Warrington did come out and tell Eddie Hearn to book a fight in the interim, hopefully here in the States. So I applaud that.
I do too.
He wants to stay active, and that's great. So
I think he needs it. I think in the long run, it works better for him.
Sure.
I just think Lada is better, but what those guys over there, man, like when people gravitate to them, they gravitate towards them.
Oh, they become great fans. They're fantastic fans.
They're diehard. They rock with you. You can exist on that continent.
Sure.
Not even the continent of Europe. You can exist in the UK.
Right.
As a star without having to cross over here. And it's really maybe the only place you can do that. You know what I mean? Because I don't know. Like, I don't know how much the monster, like Inoue, I don't know how big he is over there, just because of my lack of a connection part of Asia, if you know what I mean.
Yeah,
like if someone's big in Europe, I understand it because I perform in Europe, I have a connection, I'm from there, etc. Whether it's Latin American guys, we both have tons of Latino friends where we can say, sure, yo, is this guy huge over there? Is he a star? Is he this? Is he that?
Well,
when there's Asian fighters,
Japanese, because it's not big in China. Boxing is not big at all.
So when there's a Japanese fighter, like a Murata, who G may or may not fight, or Inoue, who was a top five guy, top two, three in a lot of people's list, can he just be there? Can he just exist there?
Yeah. Well, I don't think they get the massive paydays, in TV dates and worldwide fame. What were the name of those? Remember those three brothers? They were real flamboyant. They all held belts like simultaneously. Anyway, they were big fucking stars over there. They were like, for lack of a better term, or to really date our parents, like matinee idols. Years ago, they'd call them matinee idols.
Right.
They were like in commercials and shit like that. I know our celebrities are massive in Japan.
Yes,
I remember.
And even our B and C level celebrities can go over there, do a liquor ad, cake up. No one ever knows about it here, but they're on billboards everywhere.
Right. I remember two examples years ago, and not to totally get off topic of.
Not at all.
To a boxing show. It was like Arnold Schwarzenegger post Governator and like Britney Spears post like mental breakdown. Mm-hmm. And whenever the guy, remember, she was married, she got divorced, and then got married again, had two kids.
Yes, she had two settlements. Yes,
and
which I love. Continue.
There was some to K-Fed. He's a rapper. Mm-hmm. There was a competition for you, bro. His release dates are scheduled same day as yours. She was getting paid $840K a month off of like Japanese ads. And I remember like whatever K-Fed settlement was, it was like 50 or 60 grand a month. They're like, nah, she's good. That doesn't even touch like her stratosphere of money. Like she shits that. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
And Arnold, like Arnold's maintenance, like where he retired.
Yeah.
He would kind of like make a cameo in like Expendables thing.
Sure.
And so someone said, well, how does he maintain this taxes and how?
Right.
And they were like, he does like one thing in Japan, like for tea. And like they pay him like, millions upon millions of dollars.
The person I'm most familiar with is Clooney doing a liquor, whatever it is.
Just a bozo ad, right?
Just some ad. And he's on every, their version of Times Square, that you see. I don't know what that's called. You know what I mean?
I don't either. I'd like to go there.
Yeah, I would too. I think dudes like us, man. I hate to downplay our level of of being sort of stupid wops. I think culturally we couldn't hack it. I'm just going to leave it at that because I've been everywhere, but over there, and people are like, bro, you've been to X, Y, Z, and they name it. They're like, bro, knowing you? No, just knowing it. No, the people that are telling me enjoyed it. But they're like, yo, I know you, dog. And like,
I want to go buy sneakers there. That's why I want
to,
like,
see, that's, I think we have the same reasons to
the
go.
The only reason I want to go there is just to buy sneakers. That's it.
And I want to go to Ribera that's Steakhouse. Terrible. Remember all the wrestlers would wear that jacket from that Japanese steakhouse? Yeah. Like when we were little kids?
Yeah.
Ribera?
Yeah.
And then my man, I don't want to say his name because he should. My man who was in the WWE for a while went there and was like, yo, it was like the worst steak I ever had in my life. And I had to steal the jacket. He like, and he grabbed two.
Really?
Yes.
And he stole the jacket?
He stole two jackets from Ribera. And it's like in Japan, it's the equivalent in terms of it's like famous with the wrestlers. And in terms of being a famous steakhouse to you and I, it's right, like right, Peter right. Luger. Right. Like it's that level of, and he was like, bro, it was like horse meat. So, maybe, when we were kids and seeing pictures, the pictures we saw from the 70s and 80s, it could have gone through four owners by then and it just sucked now. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But every guy we saw when we were little kids with that jacket, like that's where they went to eat and get drunk, you know, and be merry.
Well,
but I know we went totally off track, but back to Inoue and back to what we were talking about with Warrington and being able to stay there. Do you think Inoue is doing those sort of things? Like, do you think he's in commercials for like deodorant or like Pepsi?
Yes. And the guys who I was thinking of are the Kameda brothers.
Okay. Yeah. Kameda, right?
Yes. They were big stars. Yeah. They were big stars. So, I think Inoue is doing big stuff. I mean, we definitely should. That's a good topic for a future show. We can pull up some YouTube clips of some ads that he's in. I remember years ago, I saw like Eric Morales in like a Mexican like beer ad. You know what I mean? Like he was not. I'm trying to think. I think it was before it was after the second Pacquiao fight, like when he lost. You know what I mean? But he was still like.
He's still in the tail end of his prime.
And yeah. I remember being like, this is fucking awesome. You know what I mean? Like, but we would never see him in a beer ad here. You know what I mean? Or any boxer for that matter.
Now. That's what I mean. I mean, you're basically really talking about like who has reached that level. Like Canelo was in those ads.
Yeah.
You know, and Canelo doesn't even publicly speak English yet. You know what I mean? English is pretty good.
It's funny. He's got a good sense of humor.
He's got a great sense of humor, but he's not willing to take it there yet, even though he understands everything.
Yeah.
He doesn't, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, he don't miss a beat.
No. But so look, I guess if Warrington fights a hobo in the US, I don't really know what that does for him. I you know, you obviously don't fight like the toughest guy in the world because you want that trilogy,
right.
That payday, that shot, etc. I don't know how much fighting a tomato can helps you. You know what I mean? So, you know, just fighting a tough guy, you know, a guy that'll maybe give you a little bit of rounds, maybe. I'm okay with that.
Right.
I don't think you can go in there with a world beater.
I mean, if he does, great. We get to see a great fight. As far as his career is concerned, I'm not so sure.
Yeah, because we have to talk. We try to talk as managers and then as fans.
Right.
As fans, yeah, I want him in there with a tough guy.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
But I do want to see this rematch. He looked really hyped for the planned rematch that was stopped. I don't know if he can beat Lara, but he's going to give it his all. So I gotta commend him. You know, he's got heart. He wants to be there. But anyway, so. It was a two-rounder, guys. Stopped on cuts. Big disappointment. What they didn't announce, and it was a surprise to Vinny and myself, was that Conor Benn, which we did speak about, and we have profiled because Vin and I think, I don't want to say super high of Conor Benn, but he's got a ton of energy. He looks to be the goods. He beat Sammy Vargas in his last bout. He came in his most recent bout, which they didn't announce. He beat Adrian Granados. That bout was postponed due to COVID. He was supposed to, I believe, be a co-feature on a DAZN card, and they seem to have slid him in here because it was not on any published schedule on Ring, Boxing Scene, Box Rec, anything. All of a sudden, just popped up that he was on the card.
I believe we were like, whoa, whoa, whoa. What is happening here?
Right.
So
he beat the shit out of Adrian Granados.
I... I was high on Conor Benn. I was a huge fan of his father, the Dark Destroyer.
Yeah, me too.
I saw some stuff I didn't like here, man, and it's weird. It can't be called anything but nitpicking when someone beats a sturdy guy convincingly in a UD, and then you go, oh, but I saw this and I saw that. Then it's going to be called nitpicking. But I just saw some things, and I don't know if...
You're picking nits?
I'm picking nits. He was really looping his shots, man, really throwing fat shots. Mm-hmm. And his stance looked super wide to me in comparatively to the previous fights I've seen from him. And I'm concerned because, look, like his father could crack, man. Mm-hmm. Connor's powers, it's not there.
Right.
Agreed. That said, when that's not there, it's like that's the equalizer, bro. When we talk about these guys week in and week out on the show, 13 episodes, we always end up coming around to, but he's got that equalizer. So if, know what I mean? You could destroy Wilder for a 2-hour show, but you can't take away that he's got a bomb in his right hand.
Right.
So the only reason I chose to bring this up to you is because there's not that neutron bomb in either hand. If he fights the exact way he fought Granado, like a top guy would pick him apart with those wide mm-hmm. shots. I mean, mm-hmm. when you see fat shots and you're a guy with compact, you know, tight, clean shots right up the middle. Right. You
fastest
know, if someone's head's
between
not,
2 points or is a straight line.
Straight line. So I'm not talking of. It's like, no, I like what I saw versus Granados. I'm thinking of guys that we are like, yo.
Right.
What about these guys we're touting?
Upper echelon, because you and I, a few episodes.
We're touting boots, you know? So I'm thinking of boots. Right, and there were boots. No, they're not.
No.
So can you call boots a contender and then Conor Benn a contender in the same sentence? And then that's where we get back to the slang of, yo, there's levels to this shit.
Right.
You know what I mean? Granados and Sammy Vargas, like, that's like, two pretty solid wins for a guy that's definitely not known over here. Like, of course, Conor Benn, the son of Nigel Benn, Dark Destroyer, in wars.
And
UK
I don't know.
Legend.
And I don't know what Conor Benn, like a lot of these guys who, a lot of the kids of now, I mean, and I don't know his finances, but let's just say well off.
Right, boxing, right, right.
They don't usually typically have the same amateur pedigree that their fathers did.
Also, obviously. Bro, hey, look, real quick, not to cut you off, real quick. It's not just amateur pedigree. Do they have the hunger?
Yeah,
bro, if we go back to the old timers, right? We separate modern era and not separate it. Go to the old timers. How many fighters can we name that you say, oh, that person came up well off? They like wasn't right. on
or
some
you mean
level
like, for, like. Yeah, like Marvis Frazier, or I mean, we can go back even further. You know, I mean, you can just pick any. I mean, I'm trying to think.
Aaron Pryor's kid, Buddy McGirt's kid.
You want to go? Oh, I was talking even further, like Tracy Harris. You
right,
know what I mean?
Right.
Like,
no, but whether wherever
you, know,
you
Floyd
go,
Patterson so was a world champion.
So wherever you go, yeah, right. No, but whether you stay very recently and with guys like Chaz Witherspoon, or you do go back to. To Tracy Patterson, who was adopted, and what I'm saying is that there's this thing that exists, this fire that burns inside of these fighters like Hagler, that seems to not be able to be replicated by guys that didn't come from that place. And of course, if I'm proven wrong, I'll say it. You know what I mean? But I haven't seen it yet. I haven't seen. You know, I mean. Look, there's Floyd. You know, is that the ultimate prove you
wrong?
Yeah,
I mean, Floyd. You know, Floyd. I don't think Floyd was raised like a typical successful fighter's son.
Right.
I mean, you know, Floyd, from all accounts, was his father was in jail. There's a story of Floyd's father getting shot by Floyd's uncle while he's holding Floyd as a baby. Which I think effectively ended his competitive boxing career. And I think, of course, prison, long prison stretches. But Floyd's dad was in jail. when he was growing up. You know, I don't. So no,
I know he stayed with another family in like another part, a nicer part of Michigan for a while. Right, so I mean, still, you're talking about someone who came up in a difficult situation, and that difficulty creates this thing that I'm talking about, this intangible thing that I'm talking about.
Right. I mean, and I don't always buy into that. You know, there are guys like Gene Tunney going historically, modern day guys like Chris Algier, even like Amir Khan. I don't think Amir Khan grew up poor.
No, not at all.
You know, so
I also don't think of any of those guys as killers, though. You know what I mean? I they're very capable pros.
Right,
but
right,
that
right.
thing. Do you know what I mean? That thing.
Yeah.
To the guys listening, you guys out there, I know you know what I mean. There's this thing in these fighters that are willing to die. I don't feel like Amir Khan's willing to die. I just my opinion. I don't know him. You know what I'm saying?
He might get killed.
He might get killed, but I not willingly.
But you know it's funny. Like another combat sport that's not boxing, but like mixed martial arts. Those guys, a lot of them come from a collegiate wrestling background, and most of those guys, well, not most. I want to say, let's just say, guys in that sport come from usually a middle class upbringing. You know,
yes.
And in order to be a successful collegiate wrestler, you have to be a fucking lunatic. That is like it's the hardest collegiate sport you could even fathom. Cutting weight, getting the shit kicked out of you. You know, they wrestle 40 matches a season. You know what I mean? 50 matches a season, tournaments, beat up, you know.
Yeah, I don't know anything about it, to be honest. So I'm just letting you go.
That's why those guys took over that sport. You know what I mean? Remember, it was like the Brazilian jiu-jitsu guys, and even prior to that, like tough man, it was a glorified.
Yeah,
tough.
I mean, my earliest memories are the Gracies, and no, like they were just
right.
Like,
if you look
nobody
now,
can beat these guys.
Like if you look now at like the background of these guys, it's all like Division I All American.
Right, right. Like Brock Lesnar dudes.
Right, like this guy. Right. Even this guy Tyron Woodley, who fought with the he's like a four-time All-American in college. Like he's, you know, but
yeah, I didn't know that.
He's an incredible wrestler. Anyway, so I don't know. You know, I don't always buy, but boxing always seems to have that sort of. That's why up to the lead-up for the Pacquiao fight, they made a big deal about Chris Algieri not being your typical hard luck boxing story.
Right,
he's like
right,
he's like
right.
A loving home.
Right. I don't think he fights that. All right, this is very tricky because I'm talking about a professional fighter who I respect immensely as a fighter and a person.
I think he tries to.
I can see Chris Algieri in a bad situation. I'm not saying he's been in this. This is conjecture, bro.
I
can see if someone was giving him a beating, right, because of upbringing, his intelligence, what he does for a living, college educated, nutritionist, et cetera. I could see him potentially turning to his corner and saying, I think that's enough, coach. There are some people that don't have that.
But he didn't. You know what I mean? Against Provo. You know what I mean? He had a broken orbital and sinus.
No, you're right, man. You're right. And I'm not taking away the toughness. I'm just saying there's this. You see a possibility in certain guys. And I'm saying when Conor Benn is in there with guys the level above Sammy Vargas and Adrian Granados, And if he still, what I basically wanted to ask you is, we didn't talk about Conor Benn throwing wide, fat, looping shots, and we didn't talk about his footwork being weird and a super wide stance before. Well, so my question to you is this bad habits in the gym? Is this I got this guy? So
let me just pure conjecture here. So we didn't know about the fight. No one else seemed to know about the fight.
Correct.
You think they were like, hey, dude, can you make weight? You know what I mean? And he was like, well, I trained like 10 weeks ago. You know what I mean? And
a strong possibility. And if he did, even more respect to him. Because
and Granados, too. They're probably, hey, dude, can you make weight? Can you make weight? We're going to throw you in the fucking car. Let's get this fight done.
Right.
You know, and I'm sure a guy like Granados, who's probably gotten that call dozens of times.
Dozens of times.
Is always on weight.
And it's why he keeps getting that call, because he's a consummate professional who will fight anybody at any time, whether he has an 8-week camp or 5 days. That kid always shows up. He's tough. Right. And I just have a tremendous respect for those guys. They've been around forever, since way before you and I were born. But we grew up with those kind of guys, seeing them.
Trial horse,
whether it's Tuesday night fights. Yeah. And Emmanuel Burton, Emmanuel Gustin. Right. Wait, you need me on a week? I'm there. And I'm in there. Shape and I'm making weight. Where you have these other guys who have 8-10 week camps and are 3 pounds overweight.
Right.
And their fans make excuses for them. You know what I mean? Sure. It's unacceptable. And people like Adrian Granados, people like Emmanuel Burton, those guys that were always hanging around, always gave you a nice little fight, should be praised, you know, for always being there. But look, I we're both kind of been, I don't know if we call us fans yet. We haven't seen what we can do yet. I like him. I loved his father.
Sure.
What you're saying is, yo, maybe he got, you don't want to say the word thrown to the wolves in terms of the fight, but thrown into a situation that he wasn't trading for this kid on this day.
He didn't look. I mean, he's a little for lack of a better term, unorthodox. And but this was now that you're pointing it out, and I'm glad you didn't say anything to me before the podcast, because this makes it more interesting. Cause now I'm thinking, like Vin and I sometimes discuss what we're going to talk about. And I'm glad you sort of kept this one in your hip pocket. I like that. So I didn't necessarily pay too much attention to it because it was such a dominating win. I will now, going forward, let's put this in the things to look for going forward. If you and I, which we both, I think, agreed to, he needs to see a top 15 welterweight. Because when you and I dissected the welterweight division, we're not going to do it now. I think maybe a month or two ago, we said, you know, it's not as deep as sort of like the, you know, you can get a 10 to 15 guy that is acceptable for TV.
Absolutely.
An undercard and a challenge, but not some.
It's very top heavy.
Derail his career. Yeah.
So, look, he's 24. I think the day we record, 2 weeks from when we're recording, he turned 25. All right, so let's 25. All right. Yeah.
Let's go.
Let's go. All right, let's talk about your man's. Your man's, Oscar Valdez, and your other man's, Eddie Reynoso.
Well,
your boy Tainted Meat.
All right,
well, so let's talk about what happened here, B.
Tainted tea.
First, there was tainted beef. Now we got some tainted tea. B, let's give him the quote. What was the quote? I have no idea how that got into my body.
Right.
Hey, look, man.
So this is interesting, though. So
you this is not, whatever you put into your body is on you.
Right. It's
not
an illegal substance. It's a VADA banned substance, which he asked for the VADA testing. It's not an illegal substance. It's in an herbal tea, apparently. I'm not a tea drinker.
I don't know that to be factual.
Yeah.
If you do,
this is true.
My guess is you had to drink an awful lot of fucking tea to piss dirty.
What he pissed dirty for is, and people do this all the time, it's an appetite suppressant tea. You drink the tea so it doesn't make you hungry. And it's obvious that a fighter, this would be beneficial to them because they're making weight. You know what I mean? So to say I didn't drink this on purpose, I mean, I think the purpose of the tea is for people who are on a diet to lose weight.
Sensing that you're a little bit of an apologist here.
No, it's actually quite the opposite. To feign ignorance for something that is an appetite suppressing tea, it's egregious. How do you not know that this is a violation? It's a tea designed to make you not eat. You know what I'm saying? Now, it's not.
There's also apologists saying, well, this won't help him in the fight. That's also incorrect.
What the fuck are they talking about? He's not going to be hungry. So the other struggle of making weight thus is eliminated.
But it also aids in stamina, B. It also aids. Look, man. This is the second. And why doesn't Eddie Reynoso
speak talk about it?
Look, either time.
So I'm gonna piggyback on what you just said. Why is he not taken to task? This is now twice. This is happening again. You know what I mean? So he's getting killed on social media. He's getting killed by boxing fans.
Yes, he's getting killed by guys like us.
Right. So I mean, there goes his trainer of the year shit. Now, does Eddie Reynoso say to his fighters, here, drink this tea. Here, do this. You know, is he, I mean, he's a butcher by trade. So that was always my beef with like the Mexican, the tainted beef scandal. Like, doesn't a butcher know where he's getting his meat from? You know what I mean? Like, so I don't know. If you guys want to write into KEOTPboxing@gmail.com, you can yell at me and educate me on the fact that the trainer who is a butcher and a chef doesn't know where he's getting the A, meat from, and B, doesn't know a banned substance is in the tea that he's giving his fighter.
Yo. My mother's a boxing fan. We were talking about this. She was asking me about it. You know what I mean? Like, what is it? What does this do? Da, da, da. And I was explaining to her how, historically speaking, you'll back me up on this. This isn't an opinion that we can debate. You'll just back me up because it's a fact. It always becomes this game of, well, I didn't know what it was. Then that goes to that guy. And that guy goes, well, I'm not the nutritionist. And then the nutritionist goes, well, I'm not the XYZ.
Right.
It's always the cyclical blame game. And you talk in circles enough to where people go, I don't want to hear this circular logic anymore. And it sort of gets, I'm not arguing with you anymore. You know, I'm not arguing with you anymore because it's giving me a headache. That's right. What we as boxing fans end up going. Yo, I'm not a fucking investigative journalist.
Right.
So I'm tired of following this to a dead end when all I really want to do is watch great fights.
Right.
And it's how these people end up. I don't want to say getting away with it, but we got to talk about the fact that the WBC allows this fucking fight to happen.
And that was huge, what I was going
to
say.
Massive respect to Dre and Timmy for bringing that up. You know what I mean?
Whether you like them or not,
you know what I mean? As announcers, fighters, blah, 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 blah. Whatever. It's very difficult to be in that line of work where there's people dying to have your job because you worked in TV. You know how cutthroat it is, and you know that there's people lined up behind them that know the fight game, that are articulate, that are ex-fighters, that are lined up. And if you come out and say the wrong thing about a promoter, about a commission, I want this guy off, and that's all it takes. It's happened to people we've seen before for other reasons. It might not be for being vocal. Bobby Chez with the DUIs, whatever happened with Antonio Tarver, Whatever happened with, you know, where they didn't think Lennox was good enough. They move him. They put Roy in. They move him out. They put this guy in. It could be anything, man. And if you have the balls to say.
Guys want to get paid. I still want to be in the show. And it's a great way to make money where you don't have to get your head kicked in. You know what I mean? It's an incredible retirement gig. TV pays big fucking money for not a lot of work considering these guys are used to training in 120 degree gyms for 8 weeks and then going into a fight and getting the shit
and getting punched in the face.
Right.
You're getting free travel, first class, beautiful hotel, meals on
all the money goes in your pocket.
Correct. There's no, you're not paying a trainer, an agent, a manager, blah, 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 and then the taxes. So you're making $2 million. They take $1 million. Then you got $1 million left. 10% to this guy, 10% to that guy, 10% to this guy. You're walking with 600 grand off of a $2 million payday. Anyway, look, I know he's polarizing. You know how much I love Teddy Atlas. I don't know if you've said on air your opinions of him. But you know I love him. He's been so kind to me over and over. It wasn't a one-off lucky thing. I've met him so many times. He always remembers me, always asks me questions. Always has great talks. I love him. I love his passion. That motherfucker is honest, and he currently doesn't have a big gig because of that honesty.
Right.
And the fact that he thinks Kriegel is a bozo who doesn't know the sport, and apparently he took issue with it, and they decided to go with Kriegel over Teddy, is what I've heard. You know what I mean?
Well, I mean, I think they want, and I don't want to dive too deep into this. I don't want to go so far as say Kriegel doesn't know the sport. Does he not know the sport? No one knows the sport as well as Teddy that you're going to find. You know what I mean? I think part of it was, Teddy got back into training. I think again, like you said, very opinionated. I don't know this for a fact. Oftentimes it's stuff that happens off camera too. If someone's very cantankerous to the staff, you know what I mean? And
yeah,
they're not either listening to cues or they don't want to play the game. You know, the stuff that's off air, they just won't use you anymore. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If you're a fucking pain in the ass, and a lot of times ex athletes don't want to be fucking bothered.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not talking about boxing. I'm talking about sports.
Yeah.
If you see your favorite color commentator who is an ex athlete, not on the show anymore, and you can't think of anything that was controversial that they did on air, I can almost guarantee you they're a shit stick backstage. You know what I mean? And they take like the clubhouse attitude.
They have backstage heat, B.
Backstage heat, bro. Yeah. So anyway, back to this fight. I did not score it. However, I had Cancioso winning. I'm baffled. Have something. I'm burying the lead.
It's very TV of you to say that.
The scoring was controversial. There was a point taken away for no fucking reason at all. They said it was rabbit punching, but it was, I don't know.
And a horrible point deduction. I want to say that off rip. It didn't affect the outcome because of the horrible cards that we're talking about. But let me get in something. So you and I have known each other for a while and have been, and then we got closer, you know?
Sure.
But we would always discuss scores.
Right.
I've never had a scorecard and vice versa that has been more off than like a point.
Right.
Each other. I think because we don't really discuss things. You know what it is? We have the same judging eye. We like the same things. We don't like the same things. It's why, like, I don't think I've ever asked you this, but of course, not all the time. It was 100 years that he was there. But my cards were always very close to Harold's.
Okay.
Most of the time. I'm not saying. Look. It's about the final round. Dead. I would say for every 10 fights, 9 of ours were almost identical. And there'd be the one that I was like, was he drinking with Larry tonight?
Right.
But anyway, that's rolled over.
His daughter's cards are.
Yes. Yes. That's rolled over to me and you. You're the guy who I don't have to say anything weird. I've never said, what the fuck are you watching? Ever to you.
Right.
And you hit me and you said, I didn't score it. I wasn't scoring it, but he won. And I said, I had a 115, 112, Gansikau.
Okay.
So I had an 8-4.
And I also, by the way,
with the bad point deduction.
And not for any boxing snobbery, I watched it with the sound off because my wife was watching something else. And she was actually paying attention to something, like a documentary or something. So
you were being a good husband and you were able to.
No, so I was watching boxing.
Right.
Instead of watching something with her.
With her, right.
So.
Poor V.
I don't know how
she's a saint.
So she does look over once in a while and go.
Yeah, of course. So that's her whole life at this point.
So forever.
Yeah.
So one of the things that happened, there was a 117-110 egregious scorecard.
Yes.
Okay. Now,
guys, that means that if you watched it, that they gave Gansikau two rounds. He won the first half of the fight easily.
So, I had him sweeping the rounds.
So did I.
So what you don't often see is a judge raise his hand when there's criticism. You never hear from this judge. Jake Donovan, guys, you can find it on Boxing Scene. And Jake Donovan's a fantastic boxer. I love that guy. And a hell of a nice guy. He covered this, and Stephen Blee is the name of the official. And I'm going to tell you, I'm going to quote Stephen Blee right now from Jake Donovan's Boxing Scene article. I have watched the fight and thoroughly analyzed it. The 117-110 10 score is not accurate and does not represent the actions in the ring, Blee admitted in an open letter as distributed through the WBC social media team. I feel I have let down my federation, the NABF, my organization, the WBC, and most importantly, our sport and the fighters inside the ring. This is what the judge, Stephen Blee, said.
Respect to Stephen Blee for that.
He said, I would like to share my thoughts publicly, and I hope you guys don't mind at home that I'm reading this, because I think it really is important. You guys, again, on Boxing Scene's Jake Donovan's article, you can look it up. Just put in Stephen Blee on Google and you'll see it, B-L-E-A. I would like to share my thoughts publicly on the specific conclusions I have reached. By the way, what I'm going to read gives you us insight into what judges deal with, and I'm going to get into something after that. Regarding judging in boxing, close rounds. There were a few very close rounds in the fight. Vinny and I talk about this all the time. And I made two mistakes. Not to score 10-10 in two rounds, I felt there was not a clear winner. You never see a 10-10 round. That's bizarre.
No. And speaking of Teddy, he brings that up. More 10-10s. If you think a guy didn't go out there and deserve that round, I don't know what you think about 10-10 rounds. I know people that hate them. No, you have to give this guy a round. And what if they shit the bed, both of them?
Right.
Where's your opinion on that, real quick? If
it's two shitty rounds, well, it's a 10 point must. So
correct. What I'm asking you is, 10-10. Where do you stand on a 10-10 round?
I like it. I think.
Okay, me too.
If you can have a draw at the end of the fight, why can't you have a fucking draw
in a round?
And how I score boxing I think I've said this on the show before. I score it. Every round is a different fight. That's how I always write it down if I do score, because I erase the previous round from I don't even think about it when I'm concentrating, not drinking, and scoring a round.
I don't know if that's very often.
Well, you'd be surprised. When I'm actually really scoring, I actually don't have a sip of alcohol during a fight. I'm not hanging out. I'm not eating. I'm not doing anything. I'm
me
watching
either.
The fight. Typically, I'll have headphones on. So let me get into the other things that Bleep points out. He says, number two, scoring those to the champion, giving him the benefit in close actions. I also fucking hate this. Fuck you if you're the champion. I don't believe why can't I win a nip and tuck affair against the champion? It doesn't make.
It's existed since before we did.
It's fucking stupid.
Got to knock out the champ, et cetera, et cetera,
right.
et cetera.
So he
got
to dominate the
champ. Old tropes that should be. Tossed.
Crowd noise influence. It was a loud crowd in favor of Valdez. During the first rounds of the fight, some actions took place in a corner in which I had limited view. This is fucking absurd. And couldn't see some punches landed by Canseco. Is that, am I saying that right?
I heard him say Canseco. Him.
Canseco. Okay.
Yeah, but
landed by Canseco. And there was no.
I don't know how they were. I'm obviously not going to go by Timmy Bradley.
Right.
I don't think he can say his own name.
He can't. Landed by Canseco, and there was no crowd reaction. Contrary to when Valdez landed, I was also dealing with photographers and cameramen, all crammed up due to location of the champion Valdez in the red corner to the left of me.
This is all unacceptable and egregious.
I was between the photographers on the left of me and camera crew to the right, who at times bumped me, blocked me, even stepped on my hands while going across the ring apron towards the champ's corner. Considering these distractions, I honestly thought I'd be able to do my job 100%, no excuses. Getting stuck on one fighter. I mean, this is an amazing mea culpa. I awarded three of the first four rounds to Valdez, which is a combination of the above points I have outlined. I have scored the bout on TV and have a 115-112 or even 114-113 score in favor of Valdez. Now, this is him trying to dig himself out of a hole. So 114-113 would be a draw, but there was a point taken away by the
referee,
which the judge can't control.
Correct.
It is rare when a ring official will make – oh, I'm sorry, back to Jake Donovan now. It is rare when a ring official will make public comment on their most recent assignment, even less frequent that one owns up to a poor performance. Blee's confession comes amidst fight week doused in controversy. And, of course, he then goes into the Valdez was permitted to proceed with the fight, testing positive for – Phentermine, a weight loss supplement that is on the ban list. So back to Blee, and now I want to make my point. And I haven't said this on this show, but I have said this for years. If you guys follow me on any of my social media, why, one, are judges ringside? That's the most absurd thing in the fucking world. Two, why are they not privy to replay in between rounds? And three, why is there not instant replay when there is a controversial call in boxing? Every other major sport now has instant replay. Boxing is the most suitable for instant replay because there is a 1 minute break in action every 3 minutes, you know? So it's not like football where, like, you know, they have to stop the action. You wait around, you dick around. Oh, he was over the line. It's good. The referees were wrong. You know, baseball, controversial home run. They got to go put the fucking, you know, the thing on. They got to look and see if it actually went over, you know, if the fan interfered. Pull the judges away from the ringside, put them in a quiet room where they can watch the fight. This is, I mean, we're reading, if photographers are stepping on you while you're trying to watch the fight, you could effectively miss a knockdown.
Absolutely.
So to sort of close my rant, because I feel like I'm going a little too long, there won't be, but there should be reform in placement of judges. Not just, we rail on incompetent judges. Every boxing fan, every pundit, every commentator, every fighter rails on incompetent fans. Why are we not railing on placement of judges? Why are they where they are? It's fucking stupid to me. This points it out, because this is not just him dealing with this. This is not an isolated affair. This happens every fight to these guys.
Absolutely. Three different positions, three different people, essentially seeing three different fights. Right. And in accordance to these distractions we're talking about.
Right.
Of, you know, people stepping over you, camera guys, da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
Right. So he conveniently still has Valdez winning.
Yeah, so, well, of course.
Even though my score sucks, it didn't fucking.
Right.
Didn't,
yeah, like you said, it's a mea culpa up until a certain point.
Right. Right.
But
right.
I still had him winning. I just want to compare this fight. I saw comparatively, we'll talk about a fight and he'll say, oh, that reminded me of this. You know what this fight reminded me of? Mauricio Herrera, Danny Garcia.
Yeah.
Busted him up, outboxed him, picked all his big shots off.
Right.
Controlled it, got hosed in Puerto Rico. Look, he outlanded him, he outthrew him, and he busted his face up. I don't know what more guys that you and I respect,
right?
In terms of, like, on Twitter, were telling me I was wrong, my scorecard was wrong
about this fight.
Yes, and that really? It was, yeah, and that. My score was correct, but the other way for Valdez.
So let me ask you this. Valdez is, like, considered one of the good guys at boxing, right? He seems like a nice enough guy.
Yeah.
I think he volunteers at, like, a local zoo. He's got plenty of other what looks like fun interests outside of boxing. So maybe that's why. You know, I think guys tend to, like, if he was a scumbag, you know, you understand what I'm saying? Like,
I understand what you're saying. Definitely.
Like, for lack of a better term, if he had a more heel personality, I don't think that they would be disagreeing with you as much. I think people like him. And
I want to wrap it up just by saying this about this. And it goes back to what you talked about, how you score each round like its own fight, right? Mm-hmm. Bro, you do not sweep the first half of a fight, right? Mm-hmm. Where, worst case scenario on my card, he swept five of the first six. Mm-hmm. Essentially, that means for you to have think he lost ever the entire rest of the fight. From six on. I can't tell you how inept you have to be as a boxing, forget a judge, as a fan who calls himself a real fan, or anything but a casual, to believe that Consicao lost rounds 6 through 12.
Right.
That's it. That's how I want to end that. We know he's not going to get, they're not going to run it back. He was a nightmare
for
Valdez to fight.
Absolutely.
This sets up a very easy way for Shakur Stevenson to unify at 130.
who's going to beat Jamel Herring?
Your guy. And he's going to.
My guy. He's your guy. Jamel Herring is my guy.
He is.
Okay. He's a Long Island guy, so automatically, who doesn't live on Long Island anymore? I don't know. He's an expatriate.
Mm-hmm.
He's an expat Long
Island. Expat.
yeah, so him and Shakur is booked. That's going to happen. We talked about that, I believe. So the winner of that fight will get Oscar Valdez, which Vinny's picking Shakur. And I believe, if you don't mind me saying, privately we spoke, you said rather easily, Shakur Stevenson
beats Jamel. Shakur beats Herring in a boring fight. Very boring, but convincingly. Jab, 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 right hand, run. Jab, 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 right hand, run. Jab, jab, jab. And then does the same thing with Valdez when that happens. He's got two straps. And then, all right, who's got the other two at 30? Who are the champions at 30? Or do these guys each have two belts?
I think they have. No, Jamel's got one.
Does Tank have one? Didn't Tank have? Doesn't he have a 30 and a 35? And he's holding this. And
clue.
Yeah. So I don't know who else is hovering around at 130. You know, of course, when you talk about those guys around that size, you have to bring up Lomachenko. For those that listen to this podcast and think that I OD on my love for Lomachenko and don't show
you love
I do, but don't think I show Teofimo Lopez love. He's already talking about who he's going to fight at 140 and 147. So that's why I don't bring him up in these discussions. He said recently, and we said on this show, that his father and he said that he would fight Lomachenko next. Now he says no, he's not doing that. There's no reason to do it. So he's fighting Kambosos and going up to 40 and says he wants to fight Josh Taylor. So don't write in or don't tweet or DM on
Teofimo.
Yeah, because I'm telling you why. He's saying who he's going to fight at 35. This Kambosos fight has been put off 4,000 times, and it's not even a big or potentially great fight. And then they said after that, they go to Lomachenko. They're not going to Lomachenko. They're saying they want to campaign at 140 and go after Josh Taylor. If I'm Josh Taylor, I say, suck my dick. What did you do to earn this?
If I'm Josh Taylor, I want all the smoke, and I'm just going to beat the shit out of him.
I would love to see him spark him clean out. But if I'm Josh Taylor, I just go where the money is.
So
if it's Teofimo, yeah.
From last...
Is Teofimo Lopez at 140 the biggest money fight for Josh Taylor now? Or is a rematch with our guy, Regis Progre, at 40? What's next?
No, Teofimo's fresher in everyone's mind. He's more brash. He's a New York guy. I think Teofimo at the Garden for Josh Taylor would be a bigger fight.
So there you go.
And it's by the way, it would be a top rank promotion, not a DiBella. So automatically, it would be a bigger fight. Sorry, Lou.
Right.
Love you.
Right. Love Lou.
Facts.
All right. What are we doing here?
Junto Nakatani, Angel Acosta.
Look, man. Hey. So he Angel broke his
Acosta.
He broke his nose, bro, and he was leaking. Leaking. So I wanted to talk to you about this a little bit because we don't even have to state that broken noses come with this. I mean, look at it's the oldest joke of all time when someone's got a banged up nose. Oh, was that guy a boxer?
Right.
It's so much of the sport that it's become a joke to people that don't even watch the sport.
Right, right.
I don't believe I've ever seen a fight stopped on a broken nose. We both know infinite guys were fought through it.
Mikey Garcia comes to mind against Salido.
Yes, or Orlando Salido.
Yeah, that's the...
This kid's face, because of his nose, he was losing an excessive amount of blood. So I don't think it comes down to you saying, we're going to stop this fight because of a broken nose. I think that it's the equivalent of, all right, there's a cut under the eye. It's not prohibiting his vision, Right. But this is, he's losing so much blood
that this might be a problem.
At such a fast rate. I'm curious what you think of. I personally have never seen a fight stopped because of a broken nose, but you didn't see the fight, correct?
I did not see the fight. No,
he was leaking.
I'm going to have to watch it.
It was crazy. And his corner couldn't get it under control. What that says about them, I don't know. We're not going to get into that. You know, you can't. There's got to be a coagulant there that can at least slow it down.
Are you allowed to use it? You know, that's the thing.
Right.
I think it's far up the nose besides fucking jamming Q-tips up there. I think you're kind of fucked.
And they were doing it. Juto Nakatani was flying his head. Kick and fight. Like
he's
I said, young.
He's 23.
Yeah. They asked him what he wanted to do. You know, he had the interpreter there. He said, I want to unify. I want all the smoke here. There's not a lot of guys down there at flyweight. Name guys. Mm-hmm. I don't mean there's not a lot of guys. There is. But not a lot of name guys.
Sure.
Who do you go after? It was a WBO flyweight title. You know, busted the kid up.
Right.
Stopped it. The kid wanted to keep going. Look, blood loss, man. We know what that you start getting dizzy. The last thing you want to be as a prize fighter in there with a guy that's throwing punches and bunches at you is dizzy.
Right.
So I don't know what I feel about it and what I feel about the stoppage, only because I don't have a point of reference. Unless you can remind me of one.
Oh, no, I mean, man, look, I think
remember in '88 when blah 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 had a broken nose.
Like I said, the only thing I can think of was Mikey Garcia, Orlando Salido. Salido breaks Mikey Garcia's nose, and it looked like the Garcia family appealed to the referee to get him to stop it. I remember people were calling Mikey Garcia's heart into question.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, I am not in this case because Acosta wanted it. He did not want this to be stopped. He was a bloody mess.
Okay.
The corner was doing what they could. Again, neither you or I are cut men. And like you said, with the coagulant, what is allowed by this commission and what isn't.
Right.
What you're talking about. Look, man, Arizona, Arizona's up there now with me with Texas. It's like you're letting a guy to pop dirty fight. But you're stopping this fight, and maybe you wouldn't. This coagulant could have stopped the bleeding for a couple of rounds and give him a shot. Hey, look, we got to keep fights out of certain states, man. You know,
Texas certainly, and now Arizona.
Yeah, let's put them on the knock them out the
Minnesota
box banned list. Minnesota, Texas, and Arizona are banned by knock them out the box.
KOTP ban list.
Yeah. So like I said, man, at flyweight down there, who is there? Are there
McWilliams Arroyo?
Mick, what about Mick Joe?
I think Mick Joe retired or he moved
okay.
up.
So
Mick Joe ate a salad and had to move up six divisions.
Had to move up to 147.
Yeah. I'm gonna read off the names. Sonny Edwards is the kid, the British kid.
Yeah.
Julio Cesar Martinez. Mm-hmm. That Artem Dalakian.
He's
Ukrainian.
Yeah.
And
he can fight.
Yeah. The South African guy, Moruti. I never know how to say this guy's name. And I haven't heard, I hadn't heard from him in a long time. It's M T H A L A N E. So I'm not.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Look,
that Sonny Edwards kid is good. The British
he's
kid.
He's good. Look, those at flyweight, those guys throw punches and bunches.
Right.
A lot of times it's wars. It's easier at those weights to unify because
sure.
the politics, because these fights
they fight all the time.
They're not there. They fight all the time. And because they're not monster money fights, there's less greed and there's less interference to make the fights. So, yo, those... At those weights, let's
I want to see the Sonny Edwards fight. That's
all right.
The fight
let's
I
do that. Let's do that.
This
weekend, our guy Cool Boy Steph supposed to fight Pretty Boy Figueroa. What happened here, B? COVID again, right?
COVID hit.
COVID happened.
COVID hit Figueroa, so they're shelving that. There is no scheduled date going forward. So
it says it's TBA, you know. So, I don't know if they're going to make it right away. Actually. Me too.
I don't know if they're going to make it.
Me too.
So that makes me nervous. And then and that was all for this weekend. That was it. There was actually fights on tonight on Triller. I didn't pay much attention. The Ja Rule versus Fat Joe Triller.
Right.
Which I hate to say it, I don't care about.
Yeah. Look, Steph is at a point now. Certainly, I'm not going to use the word old. In fact, he's young, but he is at the age where you got to start moving, man.
Yeah.
27. Look, if the Figueroa shit, he's a name. I don't want to see him in there with some guy that we go, yo, you know, this is me. Right. That I do not want to see.
So I haven't heard. Steph
went through camp. Neither have I. I don't understand. And you know, you could tell me if you know why, but I don't understand why you don't get a last minute replacement.
I don't either.
Steph busy.
I was going to ask you that. How are they not? I mean, by the way, guys, this was supposed to be a unifier for the WBO WBC. This was a big fight. I don't know why that is. I don't know if because one guy could get hurt and they want to unify both sanctioning bodies say no.
Look, man, if that's what it is, then we need a date. And then we need a date of,
let's get a date.
Okay,
guys,
the kid's got the COVID. He's a top tier athlete who's in tremendous shape. He could kick this in probably 3 to 5 days when you're in that type of shape. So give me an early October date, or give me a late September date.
But now, see, we're going to get into heavy traffic next month.
I know that.
I'm thinking maybe they couldn't get a venue. They couldn't get a date. They want it on TV. I mean, there's a host of reasons why.
Anyway, not getting a venue is very valid. I don't believe that there's no place that you could find. What I want to say is I don't think a 27-year-old fighter in his prime with a strap can afford to be going through camps and calling off fights. Even if that means you're fighting a guy that is not the intended opponent who also has a trinket to unify. Someone get in there. There's guys like we talked about in Adrian Granado's type. I don't mean him. I mean a type like him. Get a guy like that in there. Tough guy, fought everyone in the division. Top guys, got 7, 8, 9 losses, gives you rounds. Steph doesn't have a lot of power, so let's get some rounds in. You can't be in these camps, bro. Fighters can only take so many punches. Fighters can only there's only so many camps your body can take where you just go, just did an 8-week beautiful training camp. I've never felt this good before in my life. Then it's gone.
Right.
All to do it again. That's a letdown that only a certain type of person/athlete can understand what it is. To train for something like that, just to have it canceled. It's a letdown. It's almost impossible to articulate. You get that call, yo, this kid got popped with COVID. The shit is off. First thing I say is, get me somebody. Now, you said you have valid reasons. Look, Steph's a Philly kid. He's a good kid. Is there diva shit going on? I don't mean by him.
I don't know.
Like you said, managers. Oh, no, we're not going to tell. Maybe this was a nice little payday. Now you're going to get $200K to fight this guy who's not even ranked. Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And he goes, no, fuck that. I don't want it.
I don't know.
I don't either. I don't either.
If you guys know out there, write into KEOTBboxing@gmail.com. And we would love to hear if you guys know why, what Vinny and I are asking, which is why is there not an opponent found for a guy so that he can at least go show off his talents and make his camp at least worthwhile and get a payday. Even if it's a smaller payday,
it's
not the intended payday. These guys need to get paid. The trainers need to get paid. The managers everybody needs to get paid. the union guys that work that build the ring and break the
ring. The network. It's not. Look, we're not here to play giving everyone a pity party. But these are what these people do for a living. This is their job. It's very difficult for people that work regular 9-to-5s to understand what it's like for someone that's a musician, a boxer, that doesn't do this traditional, my alarm goes off at 6, I wake up, I'm in there at 7:30, I'm home for dinner, and da-da-da-da-da. A good portion of Americans think that is what work is, and anything that's not that isn't work. And I'm here to tell you, you're more wrong you could not be, because some of us work harder than people that work 9-to-5s, just because we don't,
Agreed.
Because it's not traditional work. It doesn't, like, no one, including the two of us, correct. The two, no one that's listening and the two of us here could go through an 8-week camp. We couldn't go through a 3-day camp. So for you to be, he's rich, he's that, and not thinking that there's tons of people that you take care of and feed, that feeds their families, and the trickle-down effect. Trainer, manager, his second, his cut man, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I look, not to be long-winded, even though we both are, hey, look, we understand that your reaction might be, well, why did it happen and you didn't complain about the Fury Wilder fight? Because it's a fucking $100 million fight that is so monstrous that for Wilder to say, "Oh, okay, I'm gonna fight Joe Hip," while it's so monstrous. It's bigger than the sum of its parts, and by that I mean the boom that it brings to the city that it's held in. This is not happening with Cool Boy Steph and Brandon Figueroa. These monster fights are trickle-down effect on the economy of the city that it's held in. When something's held, B and I have talked about that, especially when it comes to Philadelphia, because B's from New York, and there's no shortage, yes, because of COVID there has been, but there's no shortage of stuff at the theater at the Garden, at the big room in the Garden, at Barclays, et cetera, et cetera. But you know better than anyone how much of a fight town Philly has been.
Sure.
And when is the last thing that's been here? Danny doesn't fight here, bro. Steph doesn't fight here.
Right.
J-Rock fought here when he got knocked out, at the LaCours. So basically, like, I can bet J-Rock and the Better Biev fight were both in Philly. And that's all I can give you, being like 10 years.
Right.
That's crazy to me.
It's
that Philadelphia... And again, as someone who's not a Philadelphian and who is tuned in with the New York boxing scene, who respects Philly highly, the New York guys, you know, they have a ton of respect for Philly as a fight town. Why aren't we having cards here, bro?
It's of course Philly is a fight town, but you also look at like Boston doesn't have cards. I forgot who was on a card in Boston, and it was a huge deal. That they like, for the first time in however many years, there's a fight in Boston. You know,
I don't want anyone biting my head off here, bro, but I wouldn't comparatively.
No,
Boston
no,
is not
no.
Philadelphia.
I'm just, I'm, no one should bite your head off. It's not.
Our guys who never won titles would be unified champions in 2021.
Yes.
Where you started
Benny Briscoe.
About Benny Briscoe. Yeah. I mean, look, I'm
the
not even going to rattle off the names. Right. There's hundreds. There's not dozens. There's hundreds.
No, Philly
there's
is a Philly.
There's a Philly boxing page dedicated to Philly boxing.
It was a bad example. I apologize. I didn't mean to offend you.
Well, a little bit.
Don't throw batteries at Santa.
That's very cheap, what you did by comparing Boston to Philadelphia as a fight town, a little bit disrespectful.
Well, you know, I was just making a point that there are certain towns where they don't promote fights in, but Philadelphia, there's no excuse not to promote fights in. It's a sports town. It's a town where the fans show up. It's a town. It doesn't make sense. I don't get it. I mean, Rocky's Philadelphia. The most famous fucking fictional boxer of
Joey
all time.
Come see the Joey Giardello statue. When you bring the cookies, I'm going to show it to you. But listen, B, listen. I've never been to a card here, right? Mm-hmm. Big or small, that you look around and say, man, I know why they're not bringing cards here. You know, going back to the Blue Horizon, packed to the gills. Packed to the gills. Okay, so when Blue Horizon shut down, they found this little venue that looked identical to it. It was on the campus of the University of the Arts. I don't know if you're familiar with University of the Arts or how many people are. Mm-hmm. They found this venue that was like almost identical to it. I saw Kasim Uma there, and I sat with the Judah family.
Okay.
Now, this is when Kasim Uma was like, yo, just, you know, because I had infinite respect for that kid. Tough as hell.
Sure.
Fought too long, took too many beatings. But when his upbringing, the documentary, if you can find it on him, watch that documentary on Kasim Uma. I got to talk to him. I talked to Steve Smogel for like an hour that night, talked to Teddy for like an hour that night. The Judah family could not be sweeter guys. Daniel, Zab, his father, great guys. But this, it was packed. It was packed, B. It was a small room, you know, those old fights with the balconies. It looked just like the Blue Horizon.
Right.
And
so
then
they used to
lots
do
of people at the La Course.
Hammerstein Ballroom here.
Yes.
I mean, we had some venue, not, and again, I'm not taking anything away from what you're saying. I'm not even comparing. But yeah, why not do that?
This wasn't planned. This isn't on our docket. I'm just curious, knowing your knowledge of Philadelphia fight history, if you've ever thought, yo, what the fuck are they doing down in Philly? Because of course there's AC. I think people go, yeah, it's right next to Philly. It's not as right next to Philly
it's 15
as
minutes
people
away.
Think.
Right. Yeah. It's close to an hour drive without traffic.
Bro, it's a solid hour. It's a solid hour. And you have to think what goes along with that. If you're a degenerate gambler, if you're a drinker, if you're a party make a weekend out of it, oh, boom, it's nothing. It's fun.
I think you just answered your own question.
Yeah.
I think because of the proximity of Atlantic City, there is all these other accoutrements that go along. That go along with having the fight there where they can monetize fandom.
I answered my own question.
Fucking Boardwalk Hall is not even a casino.
Right.
And they had a ton, and I saw a ton of fights there where.
Right.
Atlantic City's like, just put the shit here and then let these idiots fucking, you know, disperse and spend money in our casinos. If
saw great fights there, War Gotti 2, War Gotti 3. Mm-hmm. I saw I brought it up earlier when we were murdering Wilder. I saw that hobo give Wilder all kinds of fits at Boardwalk Hall.
Oh, what was his
name? I know.
Yeah,
now
he gave him like that. He gave him that black eye.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, he like shut his eye. All right. So, yeah. September 25th on DAZN.
Right, what do you think? What do you think?
We got Anthony Joshua.
Our guy Usyk. He cracks me up, man.
Versus the clown prince right now of boxing. This
he fuck. He cracks me up.
Alexander Usyk.
It's a lot to say to crack me up when you are not. English isn't your first language.
Yeah. Eddie, give me more money, Eddie.
There's a huge gap in senses of humor, even within the United States.
Sure.
Like if me and you go to LA, right, and we're hanging out, people will look at us like we're sick fucks.
Yeah.
Sense of humor does not go over well there.
Right.
It translates, they're just mortified. So
sometimes I'm mortified. I'm
not. No, stop.
I don't think I get offended by much.
How dare you? By me?
No, I said I don't think I get offended by much. I'm trying to think the last thing that actually offended me, and I can't.
I've said or in
life?
No,
in general.
Oh,
in life.
Yeah.
No, not you. You don't offend me, you fucking.
How dare you?
No, I just.
Nikolai Firtha. Is the name I'm thinking of. Nikolai Firtha was knocking Wilder around until Wilder sparked.
And you saw that at Boardwalk Hall?
Boardwalk Hall.
Is Atlantic City back? I think it's back. The Showboat, which is one of my favorite casinos, I think it's closed now, it's reopening.
Their whole thing is
13 fights a year.
They're pushing, we're bringing fights back. I spoke to my cousin who lives down there. He's in, I'm in, you're in. If that's the case, we're going to be bringing KOTB, you know, KOTB.
Yeah.
To there, we'll try to get interviews. You know, we'll bring our little mics to our phones.
I have a little hook that hopefully will come to fruition.
Yes,
I cannot divulge too much.
I have one as well. My feeling tells me that between both of us having plugs, we'll be able to pretty much go to whatever we want.
I also think on this...
My cousin Pasquale's already on the job, if you know what I mean.
Oh!
Paisan's got this little of that. How am I going to get in?
Listen, he knows a guy. I spoke to Pat. I said, Pat, you know a guy down here? He says, I know a guy. I know a guy who knows a guy. I know a couple guys.
There might have been a couple times where I've seen tickets handed off in a bathroom stall. I'm just saying I might have seen that.
This guy's got tickets.
I might have seen it. I might have.
I've bum rushed a certain maybe one, two of these broadcasts, and they don't seem to mind when I do that in the past. So if I do it now that I have my own podcast while they're doing their broadcast, it might be funny.
Mm-hmm.
Or they may cattle prod me.
I think as COVID, whatever's going to happen in the fall, seems like it spikes, whatever. We're not going to get into that. But when things are back to normal, to what you and I consider normal, because you and I don't consider normal what a lot of others do. We're not going to get into that either. But when you and I are comfortable going to fights, I'd like to put a stamp on the East Coast boxing game as the rabble rousers. I'd like to be hated. I'd like dudes to want smoke, but never really there, because we'll beat them badly. We've talked about a few writers who we had the, I don't know if the word would be opportunity.
With?
No.
Oh,
the opportunity.
Oh.
We've had words with a ton.
You mean actually pulling up on people?
I told you that I had full intent of pulling up on someone we both loathe.
Right.
And my brother was like, as my elder, you know what I'm saying? My brother's 11 years older than me. Like, maybe not. This is also the same night that I see Don Nacho, right? I got to get a pick with Don Nacho, right? My cousin Pasquale just goes over to him. He doesn't speak one word of English, right? My cousin Pasquale doesn't speak Spanish. He grabs him, B, like he's a schmohawk off the street, and is dragging him around so to get the right light to take this picture of me. So then I got to tell Don Nacho I'm apologizing to him in Spanish, because he looks like he could fry an egg on his head. The steam's coming off his head because this Pasquale's dragging him around like he's a schmohawk. The guy like might be the best Mexican trainer of all time.
Right, right.
You know, and this Pasquale's dragging him around like he's a bozo because he don't care, because I want the pick.
So what did... Was JMM there? Was any disciples there, like floating around, or was it just...
It was the Paul Williams, Erislandy Lara robbery.
Okay.
He was working the corner of the undercard. I remember Edison Miranda was on the undercard.
The Pantera.
And lost. Yes, Pantera. And he lost. So it was like, you remember that unfortunate downfall?
Like post-Kelly Pavlik?
Yes. Yes, okay. But I still liked him because he's always a nice guy when I saw him. And that right hand was crazy. But the jaw started, you know, whatever. But yeah, I forget, B, because I don't think he ever trained Erislandy Lara, especially because he always had Cuban guys.
Right.
Erislandy. So I'm thinking of
who. And then he had Ronnie Shields.
Right. But who Don Nacho would have been there for, particularly because would you come from Mexico to work an undercard? So, if thinking back now, when you think of that era where we were, both of us were fight cards every week, it's harder for me to put it together. You know what
right,
I mean?
Right, right, right.
If it was now, I'd be like, oh, he was working, blah, blah, blah. But bro, there were cards. I was in New York AC like twice a month, probably for 15 years.
In the 2000s, I was going to.
Yeah, that same like everywhere, you know?
And I remember do you remember when they opened the mall at Caesars in AC?
I do.
They had like all the high end stores in there and everything.
Yeah, yeah. Gucci, Versace.
They were having shitload of cards back at Boardwalk Hall again.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was supposed to go to the Kovalev fight when they had that at the, what the fuck was the name of that casino that shit the bed?
Yes, yes, yes. I think there was only one fight card there. He starts the dude quick.
Yeah, I had tickets to it, and something fucking popped up, and I just couldn't fucking go. And I just, you know what I mean? I just didn't go. I didn't go. None of us went. I think there was four of us that were supposed to go. Maybe three of the guys bailed or some shit, and I wasn't going to go solo. Anyway, I'm picking I'm going to pick Anthony Joshua. Anthony Joshua, Alexander Usyk. Usyk's, in my opinion, his only chance will be to tire out Joshua and confuse him. However, I didn't like what I saw in Usyk's last fight as a heavyweight. Again, this will be his second campaign as a heavyweight. I still think he gets
Was that a homeboy from the UK, right?
Yeah, I got to look it up.
Come on.
No, it's 10 to midnight, and I've been up since 4 in the morning. I'm fried.
Ah, what the fuck is his name? He's fought everybody.
Oh, everybody. The biter.
Yeah.
What the hell's his name? What the fuck is his name? Chisora.
Yeah, Derek Chisora.
Chisora. Del Boy.
Del Boy.
So, who's a tough out for anybody.
Yeah, tough guy. Tough guy.
Wouldn't surprise me if he did win. However, I didn't like what I really love what I saw with Usyk compared to, I'm comparing him, of course, as a cruiserweight. I think Joshua actually stops him. I think AJ stops him. That's my pick, official pick. Not picking around. I just think he stops him.
All right, real quick. Bally's had this small room. They were throwing a bunch of cards. And I saw a lot of good fights in there. I saw Paulie Herman and Gojo and met Beetlejuice that night. So that little Bally's room, yeah, beats the Don. That room was great, too. So hopefully all this comes back. Hey, look, I think you don't like pound for pound.
That was like the Claridge, wasn't it? Like the Claridge Hotel down there was the Bally's.
The Bally's? What do you mean? At one point, was it the Claridge?
Or weren't they right next to each other? Or some
I
shit?
Think
they
so.
Had that like long escalator that was in the...
Yes, yeah. The real long escalator. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the room that they had the fights, if you got the wrong seat, you were next to the hot dogs and sauerkraut. It stunk and all the degenerates hovered around there, stuffing their faces because they got comps. Worst people are the people. They're the dregs of society.
Boardwalk Hall towards the end there was like a...
It was undesirables.
It was like a high school gymnasium.
some undesirables.
I was at Gotti Baldemir, and there was a fight that started in the lobby at Boardwalk.
Of course there was.
And when we walked out, the fight like traveled. Like, it looked like, remember like on like Pigpen from like Charlie Brown.
Yeah, the dirt,
like
the dirt circle. Yeah.
The fight looks like that.
And we went over to, if you will.
We went over to, we had like tables at the Taj like afterwards. And as we're walking, this fight followed us. And then like an hour later, these two groups of people started fighting in the Taj.
Yeah.
And I was like, what the, like bottles flying all over the place. Like they just wouldn't give it up. And I was like, it was our side of things. It was two groups of Italian guys. I don't want to start, I think they were Italian guys. This is the early 2000s.
With the
when everybody was doing like the diesel shoes.
What a bad time of American history.
And like the jeans that were sort of like bell bottomy kind of thing.
Yes, the flare gimmicks. Yeah, the flare gimmicks.
It was those dudes were fighting.
Yeah, those dudes are not
throwing bombs, by the way.
Nice.
Like and I remember just being very entertained by
what is Lamont Peterson's little brother's name?
Anthony Peterson.
Anthony Peterson. I almost fought him at Lucas Matisse.
What?
Lucas Matisse, Lamont
Peterson.
Did you
know it was him?
He jumped the barrier to try to rumble me because we were sitting.
He's a nut puncher, that guy.
We were sitting with amongst Anthony Peterson's fam and crew from DC.
Headbanger.
And we were drawing with them, like friendly, you know what I mean? And you know that friendly drawing can get serious when your man gets starched. And I'm not one to hold my tongue when your man's laying there starched.
Oh, you started yelling at them?
Yes.
You touchdown danced on Lamont Peterson's family?
Correct. And we're barking, we're barking. And the brother sees this and jumps the guardrail and comes over and starts drawing too. I'm like, you can get it too. Everybody here can get it. I'll hit you with a fucking brick. I ain't boxing. You know what I mean? This one woman with them, like an aunt, like the auntie, she was like, boys, it's just fun. It's just fun. Like, she really put this energy into it that everyone was like, yes, ma'am. Get like that quick.
So what happened at the end?
She just basically sunned them and us by being like, I'm the auntie. Like, stop acting like idiots. And I was like, yes, ma'am. But it was ugly. It was ugly. Yeah. Look, I can't see Joshua Usyk going 12 and Joshua winning it.
I actually hope I'm wrong here. And
I think
because of like Usyk's personality so much, and Joshua is like a wet mop, and he seems like a nice guy. It's just I like Usyk's energy.
I know guys that know him, and he's a good shit, Joshua.
Yeah.
Look, I have a few things to say about this. Yeah, he's got personality of a dead moth. Look, I have a few things to say. I think it. Oh, how I started this was saying you correct says he hates pound for pound. You hate pound for pound. I
hate it.
This is why I'm going to bring it in. This is when it comes into play for me. If these guys were the exact height and the exact weight in the exact same natural weight class, this isn't a question to me who's better. Usyk is light years better athletically, as a pure boxer, as his amateur pedigree, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Joshua is just big as shit. I don't know anything about Usyk's chin at heavyweight. Del Boy got a little pop. He didn't hurt him. So it's at least from one fight, we can say he's got a sturdy heavyweight chin, I guess, right? Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, no.
No, Del Boy doesn't really have a lot of power.
But he's a big heavyweight, bro. He's a big heavyweight.
Well, listen, I'm telling you what's going to happen. Joshua's going to knock him out.
Boom. Hey.
Yo, you hear it first. Bang.
Is that
OTB? And if I'm wrong, write in to KEOTBboxing@gmail.com and talk that talk. And you know what? I'll respond to you. I'll respond to your email.
On the air.
On the
air. Or no.
Both. I'll start a thread. How about that? I will have an email argument with you.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
then we'll read it. That'll be the most boring fucking thing in the world. But
look, Chisora has 30.
I'll fight with you like I would on Twitter or Instagram if you
look
me and tell me that I'm an asshole.
Chisora has 32 wins, 23 KOs. That's not feather fisted.
Against who? Who is he KO'd that's good?
It's good? I mean, I don't know. David Price, Arthur Spilka.
He KO'd Spilka?
Carlos Takam, sturdy guy.
All right, I take it back.
You know, he's got some losses there that aren't good, you know.
Fuck, 11 losses, and he still, like, gets booked.
He knocked out your guy, Malik Scott.
Malik Scott's from Philadelphia. So let's not get crazy here.
Look, I've never claimed that.
Did you guys kick him out?
Yes. After they took the dive.
You guys said, all right. What is it? Is there like a passport? How does that work? What do you guys do? Do you guys wait at the border of like...
We take you to the border of your choosing.
All right.
You go north to Jersey, south to Delaware.
We
take you to the border.
See, Delaware would be a favorite. There's no state tax, so you take them down there.
Yeah. That's why Bernard built his mansion down there. Look, we take you to the border. We say, we say, you know, take care, brush your hair. You've been banned. Look, if
that you did to Billy?
That's yes. I took him to the border
of New Jersey.
He chose New Jersey, the armpit of the East Coast. And that's where we dumped him. That's where he's going to stay. He's not allowed back in here unless he gets stamped in each time.
So what happens?
And when I stamp him in, he drinks on the job.
Fucking guy.
Yeah.
I think he died. Where is he right now? What is he doing? He's definitely passed out.
Yeah, I think you're right.
I think he is passed out.
Yeah, I do too. It was originally a joke. Now we're just looking at this stupid face.
Are you guys talking to me?
No. Not at all. Not at all.
Or his Wi-Fi was out again.
Yeah, fucking turd Wi-Fi. All right, look, so I think either that, I got you, what do you know that? Whoa.
Go, come on.
You give predictions and I don't.
Well, you're over here talking about borders.
So you get to say, oh, he's gonna knock him out, and then that's my prediction too.
And that's the show. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in.
How dare you?
No one cares what you have to say.
IBF, WBO, WBA. The plan here is, look, Fury Wilder's a super fight. This fight here, Joshua and Usyk, is a big fight. Winner of both fights, it's the biggest heavyweight fight since what?
And I'd like
Lennox,
to see
Lennox Tyson?
Yeah.
I'm not talking about quality. I'm clearing that up. But that Lennox was 2002. Tyson.
Name, so you're name talking, versus name.
Name versus name. We're going to be the biggest, 20 years. This will be the biggest fight when
20 years.
Yep, it was 2002.
I know.
19 years. Jesus. So I know, man. I know. That's fucking crazy.
That's some fucking, like, we're in our 40s. We say shit like years ago now.
Oh, yeah.
Years ago. Hey, Ben, remember years ago?
Yeah.
I don't want to.
Yeah.
I don't want, man. That shit makes me feel old. See, I still think I'm like, all right, I don't know. I want to wear like my Tim's and big baggy pants.
That's what we're wearing to the fights in AC. Look, if this goes the distance, I don't see Anthony Joshua outboxing, outsmarting, out anything Usyk.
The only way Usyk wins this is if he takes him into deep water like that and tires him out. And I could see Joshua fading, not necessarily getting knocked out, but fading late and not throwing enough and not doing enough to win. I'm picking Joshua by KO.
I'm being a chicken here and I'm not giving a pick. I'm saying
what?
Yeah, I'm gonna say it goes two ways. Joshua stops him in the eighth or ninth. If it goes the distance, this Usyk
is
like wins.
What is this safety shit? Come on. Fucking you're choosing safe?
No, I'm gonna take you.
I gotta fucking take you to the border.
All right, you ready? I think Usyk outboxes him. I think it's relatively close, the fight, and I think he gets hosed on the decision. That's my pick.
Well,
and I think that is a pick.
Fucking FaceTime you during this fight.
You'll do nothing of the sort. I'll hit ignore.
No, you fucking hit accept.
I do not
accept when I FaceTime you.
I do not. I think it goes the distance. I think he does subtle things. I think it's nuanced. I think he jabs.
Nuanced.
Right hand. Yeah. Don't. I had a whole thing about that with Andre Ward using a nuanced, which I wish I would have gotten into. If there's nothing to talk about next show, I'm going to get into it. I think Usyk is better. I think all the size advantage, I don't have to bring that up. It goes to Joshua, size and strength. I think Usyk's the better fighter. I think it goes 12. I think it's close. 115, 113, 116, 112. And I think it's a unanimous decision for Joshua. A bad decision in Joshua's favor. So you think a Joshua KO, I think a Joshua win on a bad
AJ
decision.
With a beautiful KO.
Yeah. Is the Callum Smith and Lennon Castillo's on the undercard?
Yep.
You know, we saw what happened with Callum Smith. Yeah. I like this Lawrence Okalay. Mm-hmm. He fought as a heavyweight in the amateurs. He's fighting a cruiser now. It's not a glamour division. These aren't guys where you can say, oh, he fought da-da-da and won. Look, they both fought a bunch of guys nobody knows. It's not a glamour division. It hasn't been since Holyfield and then Usyk. It's been people cared about it twice in history.
Right.
I like that kid, though. I like the Lawrence Okalay. I don't know if it's Okalay, Okalay. I don't know how
Okalay.
You pronounce it.
And I think he's going to win by KO. He's fighting Dylan Prasovic.
Prasovic. I just love your ability to just butcher. You don't just yes, but passionately butcher it.
I don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
All right. I'm not here to make you happy.
Yeah.
All right. I speak American, and when I read it, I say it, and that's the how the fuck it comes out. Right. Everyone else get in line and fucking. It's America. Right.
All right. So we're gonna wrap up state of the sport. Look, we talked about it earlier. Another Reynoso fighter pops out. We got there's got to be some pressure applied there. There won't be, but we think that there should be. Caleb Plant bringing in Andre Ward to camp. I don't know what that means now or what purpose it's serving, or is it some sort of egotistical? I mean, what do you – he's bringing him in.
The reason why I bring that up is oftentimes this translates –
No, it's news. It's news.
Into a clash of egos, and I don't know why these guys – like what looks – is Andre Ward, who's never fought Canelo, going to give Caleb Plant like this, you know, it's, I don't know.
He thinks higher of his boxing IQ than we can possibly imagine. And he thinks that he is the seasoning and he has everyone. It existed for years, B, after we saw Castillo and Floyd, right? The Castillo laid the blueprint. I'm doing that in quotes. The blueprint on how to beat Floyd. Now what is discussed is the blueprint to beat Canelo. And it's the blueprint was laid out by a guy named Triple G, who happens to be a brilliant fighter.
Right.
You know what I mean? And it wasn't a blueprint. It was just being as good as this guy.
Right.
And Caleb Plant isn't that good.
I don't think so either. So I don't think it's going to do dog shit.
And it looks like Crawford and Porter is made.
Yes. All right. Yep.
November 20th?
It's made. November 20th. Mandalay Bay. I don't know the terms, what the purses are.
Right. You know, but we'll dig into that more.
The purse bid had gotten extended twice. Today is, now we're into the 15th, but this was agreed upon on the 14th. The purse bid had been pushed to the 15th. So in the last 11th hour, whatever the saying is, they agreed to terms. Bob had alluded like 2 weeks ago that they were super close. They just had to cross some T's, dot some I's. We're getting this fight. I don't know if, and I thought about this today. I'm putting some shrimp on a grill today. And I said, why am I so excited for this fight? Is this conditioning that we've had so many stinkers and so many like no-name guys? I don't really care. I shouldn't give that much of a shit about this fight because the real fight is Crawford Spence. That's the one everyone wants to see. So this is like, you know, I ordered the Porterhouse, you know, and you're bringing me London broil. That's kind of what I feel like, you know? So maybe that's not fair, but this is not the fight I wanted to see. This is, you know, Sean Porter, who for whatever reason is really respected in boxing circles. Sean Porter has no really great wins on his resume. He lost to Spence, gave him a tough time. I'm not going to pick it yet because I want to save it for another episode. But all right, they made the fight. Yay. It's not the fight we wanted to see.
Couldn't agree more. We're absolutely in the minority. I don't mean amongst like top tier guys that we were.
Yeah, and I don't mean to be controversial saying this.
No. But fans... Neither of us know why Porter is held in such high regard. We've been vocal about that on this show. I've heard people I respect say he's never in a bad fight. Couldn't disagree with that anymore.
He's not aesthetically pleasing to me.
I think he's awful to watch.
Can I just speak up, pipe up about something?
Jab, right hand, headbutt, clinch. I think he's boring. I think the narrative that he's a tough out is just based on the fact that he clinches and headbutts and makes shit ugly. When you and I grew up and called someone a tough out, it meant this motherfucker's coming to fight. He's good. He's going to give you nightmares. Not this guy hugs and headbutts and he makes for shitty fights. I don't know when that changed and that this guy is always in a good fight or this guy's a tough out suddenly got put on dudes who just clinch and are boring and loop shots and have shitty footwork. I don't get it. I'll never get it. He's never beaten anyone. He has no great wins. He's never beaten a great guy. I don't know that he's beaten a really good guy. Is Brona his best win? I think it might be.
Sure. Possibly. At the time. Yeah. Not a fan. I hope that they've abandoned the narrative when they say former football player, Sean Porter, football player turned boxer.
Yeah, I don't understand. Yeah, he's 5'7".
They do it with Deontay Wilder.
Well, I mean, he's 5'7", 147.
What position did he play?
Who was ever that small ever in the league?
He played Pop Warner?
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, they do this on fucking TV, guys, and it fucking drives me nuts. Like, Deontay Wilder, former basketball player. Where the fuck did he play hoops? Like, did he play Division I ball? Like, was he a second-round draft pick that blew his knee out? You know what I mean? And no. What? It's because he shot hoops in someone's backyard? I don't give a fuck.
Right.
That.
Right.
That doesn't make you a basketball player.
If we're looking at names and who you and I respect, Porter's best wins over your Dennis Ugas, and we thought he lost. So that's
right.
And then after that, you got to go. He fought Adrian Granados, Berto. You know, Broner. Broner's his best win.
Broner's his best win.
They were in their primes.
Right.
So that's his. I don't get it.
No, I don't.
I never will.
So that's where we're at.
Yeah, and is Spence gonna fight Ugas if this eye thing all works out?
Yes, that's the plan.
So I mean, you know, then so well, how long are we gonna wait for the winner of Porter Crawford, which will be Bud? We said we're not gonna do picks yet. I just want to say, you know, I'm not getting into picks on what's gonna happen. I just think Bud shows that he's on another level and does it easy, whereas it wasn't easy for Spence, I guess. I didn't really have it that close, but I guess he gave him headaches.
Because I just went negative, let me sort of go positive. Guys, so this, Aram and PBC are crossing the street right now. So that's the one positive takeaway.
Correct, which means it could happen to make the big fight.
So now they've either been on a Zoom or been in a room. Oh, shit, right. Son. That shit rhymes.
It did, son.
About to fucking come out this rap album.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe Bob DeBoof, Top Rank, Al, Sam Watson, I don't know, whoever the fuck is involved in this shit.
Yeah.
Hey, look, we'll do this one. You're not
see what happens.
Guy. Right. You're not such a bad guy.
Right.
If this guy's eye heals and he beats this other guy,
yeah, let's get it done.
Get our guys to go, you know, do what we want them to do.
Yeah, I like that. I like that. And I hope you're right.
I hope so too.
All right. So you always have some sort of recommendation. I have
a little recommendation. Do you?
Go ahead. I do.
Look at you.
Hey, look. You disrespected my city. So now I got something to say about it. A little bit. A little bit. You compare the boxing city cities to Boston. And then.
All right. No, whatever. No, no, no. I just knock it off.
Give your recommendation, would you?
fucking be patient. All right.
I've had it with you.
You've always had it with me. You have a, you know, just cool it. Cool your jets. All right.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
cool your
mm-hmm.
fucking jets over there. This is like a double recommendation because you can either go both ways with this or you can take one.
No way.
It's probably one of the most important books I've ever read, not just boxing books, but Unforgivable Blackness, The Rise and Fall of Jack Johnson.
Brilliant.
Jeffrey C. Ward. You can't see it on the Zoom if we ever put this up on YouTube or something. But anyway, it's beat to hell because I've lent this out so many times. Everybody that has read it, including my father, friends, non-boxing folks, love it. I will say this, the first 120 pages, you got to get through that and then you can't put it down. There's also a Ken Burns PBS documentary, which is just absolutely riveting. That if you read the book and then watch the documentary, the pages really, Ken Burns does a great job. He's the greatest. The pages come to life. So read it, watch it, do one or the other. I'd love to hear your thoughts on it. I'd love to hear I actually want an actual book report from some of you guys. And write us at keotbboxing@gmail.com. But I don't think you'll be disappointed. I don't think anybody will be disappointed. Go ahead, Vin. What do you got?
This is what you're going to do. You're going to go to phillyboxinghistory.com. It's very archaic, the layout. That doesn't mean anything because the content is, look, this guy, John DeSanto, runs it. He's gotten a lot of things done just based off of this website. He got a headstone place for Gypsy Joe Harris, commissioned the statue of Benny Briscoe, established the Briscoe Awards. I could go on and on and on and on and on of all the accomplishments that just this little website, PhillyBoxingHistory.com, has done. There's sections to cover the boxers, the fights, the arenas, the non-boxers, the gyms, the relics, everything. It's the most informative, it's the mecca of Philadelphia boxing. The amount of knowledge that's on here and information about guys who never held a title that fought and beat tons of all-time greats. This guy, even off of this, created a Joey Giordello site. But if you really want to learn about the history of the sport, particularly in Philadelphia, because it's unheralded, especially now, not so much years ago. Marvin Hagler knew about it very well, all too well. But it's a great, hey, it's a great wormhole.
Is it maintained and updated?
Okay, it is because there's a Hayward Memorial Service, and it was Saturday, September 11th, so and that was updated. So
I'm on it now. This is cool.
The layout is very archaic, you know, and there's some charm to that because it's easily to navigate. It's easy to navigate, even though it's an archaic. They have a Facebook page. There's videos. There's amateurs. There's nicknames. There's cool. So much cool stuff on here, man. You know, Philly champs. And the gym part's great because not a lot of them exist anymore. But it's a rabbit hole. It's a rabbit hole. There's been many a night where I went on at midnight and I look up and the sun's coming up because it's great, man. It's just really great. And I'm proud to be from here. And he does such a great job. And I wish he got a little bit more, a little bit more acknowledgement, but check it out when you're bored, you know, like especially people who are able to flip around on the net or on their phone when you're at work or whatever. I know we all go down the rabbit hole of Twitter and Instagram. You know what I mean? PhillyBoxingHistory.com is a rabbit hole you can go down. So B, as we get out of here, you know, Crawford and Porter, where really soon, I think we're going to do maybe dedicate a whole show to the heavyweight clash, right? Yep. Because
Fury Wilder.
Yeah, because look, man, whoever wins this Joshua Usyk thing, then we're looking down the barrel of the winner of that, you know, in this monstrous unification belt, think, probably yeah. do 80,000 people at Wembley, right? If there's a Brit involved, you know, assuming either Joshua and or Fury win, you could do 80,000 at Wembley, no?
Sure. If that's the case,
if there's a Brit,
right? That'll be the biggest fight in British boxing in British boxing history.
Absolutely, absolutely, and the biggest heavyweight fight since O2.
Are we thinking that that moves to the Middle East? Wasn't that the original plan?
Well, look, the prince is able to outbid anyone, and not just let's go tit for tat. It's not going to be a matter of, oh, this 5 million swung this. Right. No. Yeah, it's going to be like $100 million swung.
Right.
If there's a purse bid of $100 million, we'll make it two.
Will it be in Britain? Is my question.
I don't know how to answer that because I don't know about these fights that are in Saudi, how good they are for the sport. Now you and I are going to London, and we're not going to Riyadh. So to us, I'm going to say it doesn't matter.
Billy didn't get us the comps.
Look, we could probably go to Riyadh and not have to pay anything.
No, I thought Billy was supposed to take care of everything.
No, this Billy can't take care of anything. Can't even take care of his.
Billy.
Don't pull me into this.
What are you talking about? The whole idea of having you as our producer was your many, many connections that you promised us. Remember?
Primarily in Britain.
In Britain, right. So.
And the O2 Arena, and
when you first pitched this idea to a boxing aficionado and a JMT frontman, the whole premise, Vinny and I winked with each other. We said, "Guess what? We'll be able to do
right.
We'll go to Wembley. We'll be able to go to Wembley now."
Yeah,
and I said, "I'll do the show. One condition." Vinny said, "I have the same condition."
Mm-hmm.
Wembley, and you said. That's it. We're going to Wembley. Now, what the fuck, man? That's a bait and switch. We did 13 fucking episodes.
Yeah.
I know a guy who looks like Boy Jones Jr., if that helps.
It does.
Are you sleeping again?
It does. No. He's probably loaded.
He's definitely loaded.
Not either.
All right. Before we get out of here, B, what's the next few weeks look like, man? What's the schedule look like? Joshua Usyk, then what date is Fury Wilder?
October 9th.
October 9th.
Let
me see here. September.
So, hey, one thing I wanted to ask, and did the Teofimo Lopez Cambosos fight, is that just off?
Bro, I'm so tired of that kid. I said something to you.
It's October 4th. Monday, October 4th on Triller is Lopez Cambosos. This Triller.
50 clams. 50 clams for that.
So, oh my God. That fight was supposed to happen in.
Now I'm hearing it's on DAZN. It's at the Garden. It's in the small room.
Yeah. Holy shit. What a nightmare. What a fuck. No one's gonna
Teofimo watch. Lopez, George Cambosos gets another new date set. I don't understand. No, it's 8 hours ago, says Triller. $49.99.
Yeah, no.
This undercard, if you can call it that, baby. Yeesh.
All right, so
Franchon Cruz DAZN versus Aline Sidorus, Michael Hunter, who we both know, versus Mike Wilson.
You're getting mad at me for my pronunciation. You sound like me.
That's his name, bozo.
Go ahead, say it again. Dingleberry. You were like
Alan Sidorus, you retard.
Hey.
Andy Vences versus Joan O'Carroll. I mean, this is a shit card. And And hey, I'm not just talking about the undercard. I don't really give a fuck about Kambosos or this fight.
Wait, I mean, Jon O'Carroll just fought Andy Vences the other day.
Look,
they got fucking old fights on this card. What are they going to just show a fucking? They're gonna have a 13-inch tube television.
Yeah, it said they fought 3 days ago.
Jesus Christ! They got the flux capacitor to get them to fight again.
Yeah, they anyway, went top.
All right, let's get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, this is a mess. You're really getting on my last nerve.
I'm gonna fucking come down there and fucking punch
You'll do nothing. That's what I'm gonna do. All right, what's our email where they can write us?
You guys can write us at keotbboxing@gmail.com. keotbboxing@gmail.com.
The next few months, I think there's going to be some shakeups in our top 10, pound for pound, which you hate doing, and I love. I love torturing you, and it's correct. Yeah. keotbboxing@gmail.com. I'm at BoxCutterPazzy on Instagram. I'm at Vinny_Paz on Twitter. B, what is your stupid ats? Because they're retarded.
At the killer B24 on Twitter, which is fantastic.
Which give this bad Instagram.
Oh, you guys want the illest fucking the dopest fly shit on Instagram is @I_no_that_kid. Awful. And everybody seems to find me.
It's awful. For you. It's awful.
Dingus.
It's stupid like you.
That's Instagram.
All right. We'll see you bozo soon. Peace.
Peace. Knock him out the box, pass. Knock him out. Knock him out the box, B.